From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. This is the heavy metal Abbo edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys, and joined by a man who just got done huffing some petrol down in Straya. Please welcome Mr. Stuart Balk. Say hello, Stuart.
Billy Idol for life, okay, bitches.
Billy Idol for life, okay, bitches. Yeah, and in and John Grace was just huffing petrol listening to John Denver. Over there. Say hello, John.
Hi from the Slayer house.
Yes. I'm currently I'm over here in the Judas Priest boys house. We are joined by special returning guest, favorite of the show, fan favorite. He just got done huffing petrol with the Dropkick Murphys. Say hello to Garrow.
Actually, we're the crazy townhouse.
Give me some of that butterfly sugar, baby.
Yep.
Hey, you know damn well we couldn't have done this episode without Garrow. It's just like, no. It's like, yes. Birth, death, taxes, and you can't do an Abbo metal show without Garrow.
So, I guess we should clue the listeners in as to what we're talking about.
Actually, before we do that, can I just make a make a suggestion? Can we please call this episode that Abbo metal show?
Yes!
Hey, Jim Florentine's on the show. Hey, you guys.
I'm here with Don and Jim and myself, Eddie Trunk, and we're talking about that Abbo metal show.
Hey, I didn't know Abbos listened to metal.
I didn't even know they had guitars out in Darwin.
They don't have a car to play the CDs in. I don't know where they
it's their favorite format.
You can't play vinyl without a turntable.
They really like the deep tracks. You got to respect them for that. They're real fans.
They like they know the deep tracks off Chinese Democracy. They really enjoy that. There was also, I think, a UFO gang.
And I believe I saw the Michael Schenker gang as well. And,
there was no YNT clan. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
No.
What's up with that?
No.
What the hell?
There's no, no Party Ninjas gang as well.
So Stuart sends us this link to this noisy, Vice noisy documentary called The Heavy Metal Gangs of Wadia. Is that how you say it?
It's spelled W-A-D-E-Y-E. So it looks like Wadi, but you know, Abbos, it's Wadia. I think it's pronounced.
Okay. All right. So, and Wadia is this Catholic missionary town up in northern Australia.
Way up north. Yeah.
It looks like it's pretty remote. And there are these. It was started as this Catholic mission, and the sort of tribes there became heavy metal gangs. that identify based on heavy metal bands. And there's been reports of violence and bloodshed, but I don't know. It seemed a little more chill in the documentary.
You know what? If we announced this episode coming out on April 1st, people would think it's truly an April Fool's joke, but this is all real. It's like
it genuinely sounds like something we would make up on this show.
You know what? That's exactly a good point, because I was watching this the first time. I said, this sounds like something that the four of us sat down and wrote and Garrow directed. This is like a fake documentary.
Like, it sounds like a bit. Like, like heavy metal Abbos, huffing paint, listening to metal. They're not allowed to have alcohol because they're all crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like a two-part documentary on YouTube. And you know, Stuart sent it to us, and then we were like, let's do an episode on this with Garrow. We need to do this. How'd you come across this, Stu? Were you just looking up heavy metal abos on YouTube or something?
I usually wake up in the morning and I'll go grab a cup of coffee and look up and see what's happening in the world of heavy metal abos. No. I was just, I think I looked up metal documentaries and on a Google search. And on there came up a list of the 10 weirdest metal documentaries. And this was on there. I'm like, oh, no. I don't care about anything else. I've just got to check this out. And
like, you were, like, sending messages to us as you were watching it.
I was watching parts of it, and, like, they got the Rue that they've killed, which we'll get into shortly. And like, this is... I sat there with, like, tears coming to my eyes, going, this is just, like, an MMC episode made. Like, just this is made strictly for us to cover. It's,
actually, I heard that the way Stuart actually found it was he actually just Googled. He Googles this daily, fucking Abbo, and it popped up.
But I loved – one thing I loved about the documentary was white millennials, the people who made it are.
Yeah.
Like, they were your typical, like, people who work for Vice, you know? Like, kind of stereotypical, like, they don't eat meat. Like, that girl likes eating meat. She's like, I haven't eaten meat in 13 years. I don't know if it's good or not. You know? But,
And the sad thing is they're from Melbourne as well. I'm like, oh, I feel dirty.
I know.
As dirty as I do now. Just
I was like, Stuart's disappointed.
Fucking
but, right. Like, they go to, like, go hunt pigs with the Slayer gang, right? And, because, you know, they have to go hunt for some food. And the girl was going, the hunting was less traditional than we would have liked. What do you think? They're going to go chuck spears?
Yeah, I know, right?
Fucking pigs. Like, what do you expect? Like, this is, like, that was such, that's such a, like, a white lefty thing to say. Oh,
I mean, in her defense, because one of the things that happens early in the documentary is they show the footage of the riots that happened there, I think in, what, 2007?
Yeah, on Christmas Day, mind you.
And they were throwing spears at each other.
Good Catholic mission there.
Yeah.
Christmas they Day were riots. Throwing spears at each other during the riots, so that's maybe why they thought they would use them for pigs, too.
And what was funny, there was one guy wearing an S&M footy jumper. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Like, so, like, so, Stuart, did you hear about this when it happened, these riots in Wadi or Wad?
No one gives a fuck about them down here, man.
I know. I was going to say, like, no. Was this something you heard about? So you weren't really familiar with this.
I think the guy winning $5 on a scratch ticket got more coverage than this did in Melbourne. It's just, nothing.
So that, you know, Wadi and its gang problem isn't something you are really aware of media-wise.
I've never heard of Wadi in my life.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. So this is well-known thing, even though it kind of makes it seem like it is in the documentary.
Well, this whole thing seemed like a funniest home video.
I think it's much like here in Chicago, when Abbos kill Abbos, no one gives a fuck.
Well, so you're saying there's no Black Lives Matter here?
No, there's no Abbo Lives Matter.
Right? Black Lives Matter doesn't go to Chicago because it kind of hurts their whole
credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Black Lives Matter. Unless it's other blacks killing other blacks, then we don't give a fuck.
Now, just one question I got for you fellas is, just for us Australians here, what is Vice Noisy? What is this?
Okay, Vice, it started out as like a Canadian zine that was started by Gavin McInnes, Shane Smith, and Sharu Shalvey.
Right.
And it was like this magazine that kind of – it was really like kind of – it kind of had this edgy brand of news and like stories. Like if you read the old it had kind of this punk rock edge to it. And
so it wasn't like The Onion where it was all – parody?
No. Well, no, although I'll bet I think a lot of stuff on it was like Gavin playing characters and making shit up. But because he wrote a lot of that stuff and he did the do's and don'ts column, the fashion column, which is one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever read.
Yeah.
But he's not with them anymore. He left in like 2007 or 2008. And And it's just, it's kind of this millennial driven news thing that's now they have a show on HBO. They're getting their own channel. Shane Smith claims they're worth more than they are because he's a fucking crazy liar. So Charles Johnson did this long article that like went after him, but I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that, John?
Yeah, you pretty much covered it. It's kind of it went from like interesting, fun Canadian punk zine to boring ass millennial bullshit.
Yeah, because now it's like a social justice warrior thing.
Oh,
like,
no.
And yeah. it wasn't like that at all when McInnes started.
No, when Gavin was there, it was actually really fucking mean. Like Gavin was on Adam Carolla's show, and Allison. This is back when Allison Rosen was still on Carolla, and she said she thought the old Vice stuff was sociopathic. And it kind of is, but if you read like some of the old best of Vice stuff, it's really funny and really fucked up. But Now it's like they do these documentaries where like they go to North Korea and stuff, and they kind of do some of that like crazy edgy news. But it comes from more of a lefty social justice warrior like kind of salon.
I was gonna say because the people who made this were fucking leftists without a doubt.
Oh yeah, totally. No, this is that's a little more of what you would expect from Vice and Noisy's their music publication,
right?
Hey, Hunter, was it one of some of the Vice guys that got like bricks thrown at him in Baltimore during the riots or something?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
It seems like some dumb thing like that happened. Like, oh my gosh, why are you hitting me? Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, I'm an ally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that answers that. Thanks for that. We just get straight to this documentary. There's just too many nuggets of gold in here.
It starts off with them going to the place and they meet Stuart, actually.
an older version of me in like 10 years' time, right? Yeah. Just sitting right in a chair in the middle of nowhere, like some dumpy ass chair which has been left by the side of the road. Me just sitting there going, I hate young people. You know, can't read, you can't write, you're illiterate.
They all dress like American gangsters.
Yeah.
They all want to be 50 Cent.
Slow down there. He actually said 50 Cent. I'm like, this is like got an alarm bell ringing for me going, this seems fake. How the fuck does a guy in the middle of nowhere know how to pronounce the gangster term of 50 Cent? Like 50 Cent. I'm like, nah.
50 Cent. He said 50 Cent. I noticed that too.
Wait, I got a question for you, Stuart. He in the thing he said they all want to be gangsters. They you know, 50 Cent is their hero when Kathy Freeman should be. Who the hell's Kathy Freeman?
Okay, she's an Aboriginal athlete, very, very famous over here. She in 2000 when they had the Olympics in Sydney, she carried the torch to the last destination to light the Olympic flame. So yeah, very famous. Runner she is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of us. I'm glad you remembered that, Garrow, because I remember thinking, I don't know who that is.
I'm just as dumb
as these kids, you know.
I could have said she was like an Abbo politician and you would have been none the wiser, right?
Or, nope. We would have been wiser.
You could have told me she was the
Abbo politician.
You could have told me she was Abbo Hitler and I would have been like, oh, okay.
How are they gonna become a politician?
I don't know. But yeah, that was I guess that was an older version of me sitting in that chair just saying how much they hate young people. Yet I'm sure when the camera's off he's like, you wanna fuck to that chick? I mean, she was not good looking, but I mean that guy's out in the middle of nowhere, probably the only thing he's fucking is crocodiles or some shit like that or kangaroos. So yeah. Oh man.
And those Abbo women ain't nothing to look at.
No, not really. I was going to say, what I found funny about this documentary was it was actually made by a bunch of leftists and being covered by a bunch of people who were right-wing. So.
And what I thought was so funny about these gangs is that they all go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, that was one part I liked was the when the baby was being christened in the church and the guy walks out with the anthrax among the living t-shirt. Yeah.
But like one thing that they didn't really they just touched on that I really wanted them to explore was how did this catch on here? Like, who was bringing, like, T-shirts and music and all this stuff to this community? You know, like, how did they discover and latch on to heavy metal?
That was done by Amazon drones. They just dumped them.
Jeff Bezos did it as, like, a sick experiment.
I don't know. Maybe there's, like, a metal shop, you know, 500 kilometers down the road that they can go to.
Yeah, they didn't. They really didn't get in depth into the origins or whatever, which is not surprising.
Because of course, the
documentarians,
the Catholic people there didn't really know. They were just like, oh, you know, just kind of. I left and came back, and all of a sudden, everybody was dressed like metal.
Yeah,
which was pretty interesting, since she was there from the beginning, and it was kind of funny to hear about, like, how he was like there was no spears allowed at a certain boundary.
I think the most insulting thing of this documentary is the fact that they had to subtitle us, which was...
Oh, yeah!
Well, they should, because what you guys do to English...
Kiss my ass, John.
It is brutal.
Did Stuart just insult John? I don't know. I can't understand him.
I don't know what he's speaking. I guess it's Italian. I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of Italians in Australia.
Yeah. I always said that the one thing the Crocodile Dundee movies needed with subtitles.
Better. They'd have made way more money.
I think Sam Dunn may have done this documentary, Stu, because the unnecessary subtitles. They subtitled the old black bluesman. And Stuart was like, the subtitles when you don't need them.
The first time I saw the unnecessary subtitles was the VH1 Behind the Music of Judas Priest.
Oh, really?
Because those guys speak perfectly good, you know, old English.
They're speaking good
English.
Like,
and they
English.
Subtitled them. And then I had Canadians emailing me, what the hell's wrong with you Americans with this Judas Priest documentary subtitled? It's like, ugh.
But yeah, I found that rather rather offensive at the start. But then, like, 2 seconds later, like, this is, oh, fucking whatever. It's probably for the Yanks. They can't understand this anyway.
Seriously. Shane Smith was sitting in an office. You know, I don't think I can understand the Australians.
You know what? Fuck the Australians. Put the subtitles on.
Yeah.
So they there's four lefties. I'm just gonna call them lefties. This is like four typical, you know,
millennials.
Millennials, yeah. Who go up north to Wadi and they encounter that guy. That, what was his name? Was it Peter? I think it was. Good old Australian.
The
older version of me, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The guy at the trailer park.
We'll call him Old Stuart. Yeah.
Old Stuart.
Old Stuart. They stop by his house at night. He's just basically saying, I don't like you people, but you know, you can put it on film. You get that on film. They go, oh, what? You've been to Wadi? And he goes, yeah. And they go, what's it like? He goes, interesting place. Interesting place. Yeah. So they travel through some shithole fucking rivers and mud and God knows what to get to this town, which basically looks like it basically makes
projects.
The crappy area of Detroit that's on the news look like Beverly Hills. This place looks like shit.
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of, like, dilapidated homes covered in graffiti, heavy metal graffiti.
And they finally come across that little girl who's part of the Metallica house, and one of the first things she says, hey, you got a dollar? In cities that have a lot of Aboriginals, like Melbourne doesn't. It's got hardly any.
Thank God.
That's why it's voted the world's most livable city, I guess. You get a lot of Abos come up to you going, you got a dollar? Hey, you got a dollar, brother? I copped it in Brisbane when I was there a couple of years back, or a year and a half ago. which is that little girl goes, you got a dollar? I'm like, oh, God, flashbacks to there. And when I was in Canberra years and years ago in Sydney. So.
But they noticed, I saw the greatest graffiti. What did it say about Billy Idol?
Billy Idol for life, bitches, okay?
The fact that it has okay at the end.
It's like a statement.
That's almost as good as this graffiti my friend found in a bathroom. It just said, written on the stall, fuck this gay world, you ho.
No, I've got no words. I'm just speechless.
Fuck this gay world, you ho.
Jesus Christ. Better harm. So, Garrow, what were your thoughts on this? I'm sure people are just sitting there going, everyone just shut up. I want to hear what Garrow's got to say about this.
Well, I got a question for you. Now, the four lefties,
yes,
they said they needed a permit to go to Wadia. Now, is that also reversed where the Abos have to, like, get a permit to go to the white places?
No, because apparently we've stolen their land, which I hear about every January 26th. It's known nationally as Australia Day. The lefties have to call it Invasion Day. So apparently, no, they don't need one because we're on their land anyway. No, they don't.
And what would they have done with the land anyways? They would have done nothing. You guys came in there. You build up cities. You made it beautiful. They look at the friggin' Abos. They're still living in fucking dilapidated shacks where they are.
Would still be under British rule.
Yeah. So you know what? When you say invasion, when they say invasion, go, you know what? Fuck you. You go, you see those big buildings, you see these roads that are paved and all this, that's what the invasion got you.
See all these Dan Murphys that we bought as well.
And I also thought it was kind of telling that booze was banned.
Oh, yeah. And there's a supposedly $50,000 fine. Complete bullshit. That's a figure made up by the copper.
That's like the astronomical, like,
the overinflated ceiling. Really. There's no way. I mean, even some sort of liquor license trading place here, you know, breaches a rule or breaks a law or something, they ain't going to get slugged 50 grand. So there's no way a cop can impose a $50,000 fine. It's just bullshit. You know, that smacks of places like Indonesia and Thailand, you know, making up fines on the spot. But, apparently completely dry. No alcohol whatsoever, which...
And I kind of looked at the place and I went, I'm not against this.
Well, there seems to be a lot of weed and petrol.
Yeah, they smoke of the ganja, and there's signs saying, don't inhale petrol.
Yeah, petrol sniffing kills. I'm like, yeah, we're rolling now.
I was like, oh, the stereotypes. Sometimes they're usually true.
Yeah.
They're not.
But it's funny they didn't show any of the petrol sniffing in the documentary. All we saw was
Another whole documentary on that elsewhere. We can do another time.
We should.
The petrol sniffing you want. Yeah. So we finally encounter some gang members, the Slab Eyes, and about as scary as an old woman on a bicycle. Really, I mean, this is not scary whatsoever.
They all seem like just nice people. Maybe they don't understand everything you're saying. Because it's kind of like, when you're teaching kids, you know, you kind of ask if they understand what you're telling them, and they go, yes, and then you look at their work and you go,
that's the thing.
You have no idea what I was saying. But, like, you know, it would be something like they would say, oh, so what music do you listen to? Only Slayer. And then they'd be listening to Iron Maiden. And
they take Iron Maiden to the car and Slayer. I was like, they just gravitate towards a name or an image of a band and go, that's our gang there.
I also thought it was really funny how they had these metal gangs and stuff, but they all were wearing like rap t-shirts and stuff.
My god, it's so disjointed. There's no organization.
And did you notice that when they ran over the kangaroo and they're strapping him to the fucking car.
Yeah.
They're going to go back and like skin him.
Yeah.
Did you notice what song was playing in the background?
Yeah. Jefferson Starship.
Yeah. We built this city. How hardcore is that?
Yeah.
We built this city on rock and roll.
It's so soft. It's hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing though. If you think Ruse jumping out the side of the road and hitting your car is bullshit. I'm telling you now, I only got hit by a Roo about a month back, and it's fucking scary.
No, everybody I've ever known from Australia has said, no, that's a thing.
That is a damn thing, yeah.
It's like deer here, you know.
After you hit the road, did you strap it to your car and then bring it home?
No, I didn't hit him. He got very, very, like, within about half a meter of hitting my car. I'm like, oh, shit. Because those things hit your car. If you're on the side of a road and to your left, because we're driving to the left, is an embankment. Oh, yeah, you ain't coming back. You're gone.
Yeah,
those fuckers are heavy, mate.
Yeah, it's like when you hit a deer, it just fucks your car.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, and those bastards got antlers as well. You know, some of them.
Yeah.
They're gonna hit your car. They're gonna scrap the shit out of your car as well.
Yep. And we eat them too, though. So that's nice.
Well, I think our friend Ted Nugent is living proof of that. That you do eat deer.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Kill it and grill it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Deer you can only eat by hunting. You can't, like, it's very tough to find any, like, deer meat in a restaurant.
It's very, yeah, like, anytime.
It's not farmed.
Sometimes you'll find a restaurant that will have it as a special. So,
yeah. Really? Limited. See, kangaroo is very easy to get over here because there's just so many of them.
Which, it's a shame because venison's such good meat.
Oh, I've heard it's fantastic. I mean, you can get it here. It's not easy. Yeah, you've got to really seek it out,
but yeah, in America though, you know, if you want venison regularly, you're killing it yourself, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, I can imagine. But you've killed deer before, haven't you, Hunter?
Last summer, I did it a couple. I got one the year before last. Last year I went hunting, but I didn't get anything. Right. I saw a bunch of doe. And, you know, you kind of want to get
kill them. Yeah, you don't kill them.
Yeah, don't kill it because they're always with their kids, and you're kind of like, you know? Yeah. But
that's like my Nintendo Wii game I've got, which is, what is it, Cabela's Hunting or something I've got. Like, you lose points if you kill the doe, so.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and they're usually with their kids, and you're kind of like, you know, you want to kill a strapping, you know.
Yeah, well, the bucks have tons of meat. And or they're just beefier, and you know.
Yeah, they're bigger, they're strong, and plus, like, their heads make a good trophy.
I'll bet. If you're out in Vermont, you know, you just stick it on your wall with a fire, you know, above the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I have the one, the last buck I killed. I have it. It's hanging in my dad's garage. I just need to boil it some more and get some of the stuff off of it, and I'm gonna put it up in my place.
You gotta boil what, the head?
Well, there's some leftover shit in it, you know. But
well, you can eat it 2 years later.
Well, it's not quite ready to hang up in your home. You know, I just have to do more work on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, it's unlucky.
Yeah, we put it in this pot, and the pot had these holes. The antlers stick out. Melt the flesh off.
I'm surprised Ted Nugent has got his own boiling pot for deer head.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. He might. The Nuge's head boiling pot.
The Nuge is about to give you some head.
Yeah, shit.
So, John, what did you take away from watching this thing? We haven't finished yet, but I'm just curious what your... John, I got a feeling John's going to say I was bored by it all.
Well, I was mystified, but I do find it interesting that anytime you find these sort of cut-off cultures... Everybody would say, oh, they must be into American soul music or rap music. And more often than not, it's always like heavy metal or very white country music, like George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
There was the one dude who was like dancing to honky tonk.
Honky tonk, honky tonk Sebastian, no, country, yeah.
Country music is huge in a lot of these places like Jamaica. Like my sister worked at a record store up in, I think it was up in Vail. And a lot of the servant help were Jamaicans flying in from the island to work seasonal. And they would always come into the store asking for Skeeter Davis CDs. Skeeter Davis, yeah, like apparently she's huge in Jamaica.
Well, and I've always thought that heavy metal and country are a lot closer.
I find them to be probably about as close of two musical styles that have a connotation to each other.
Well, sure. it's like you got Jeff Walker from Carcass. He does Carcass, and then he does like a country album. You know,
I was talking to a guy at a record convention many, many years ago, and he's into rock. Like, he's a big, you know, rock, hard rock fan. And we're just talking about concerts, and I think someone mentioned about the loudest concert he's ever seen, and he goes, or ever heard, and he goes, Sleepy La Beef was the loudest he's ever heard. Oh, I'm like, oh, wow, and, really?
And by the way, Stuart, you were right. I saw the Melvins the other day, and they were fucking loud.
I told you, yeah.
they were selling earplugs, but they got, and I bought some, but they got knocked out of my ears in the mosh pit for the Melvins.
Did Dale Grover play in his underwear?
No, they were wearing t-shirts with their names on them in the Kiss font. And they played
like
Deuce.
The solo EPs they did, right?
Yeah, yeah. They played Deuce by Kiss, and they also played Halo of Flies by Alice Cooper. Yeah. And it was awesome. The Melvins blew me away. They were so fucking
good. They were good when I saw them. But yeah, John, you were saying?
Yeah, well, it's like, for whatever reason, I mean, everybody expects them to be like into hip-hop or soul, you know, like our traditional soul music, and they never really are. And I always think it's like they're, because of where they live, they don't relate to that city, you know, tough guy stuff that's in hip hop. Mm. And they don't relate to any of those situations. They'll relate more to country music or heavy metal because it's more folky, earthy, you know.
It's outlaw music.
Right. It's like, I mean, you can listen to that in some barren outpost of the outback, and it makes sense. Like, the music fits the mood. It's going to fit it better than, you know, straight out of Compton.
Across 110th Street, like, you know,
right.
Junkies dying in the hood.
Yeah, they're not going to relate to that. It's like, why would you live there, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I've always thought metal and country were very close.
Yeah, very much so.
In relation, it's just, you know, they don't sound anything alike, but you often see those two genres, artists in those genres crossing over. And
well, I mean, really, that music, all it is about hunting, fucking, and fighting.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
They're going to relate to that a lot more than, oh, this city is miserable, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. You can pretty much take the lyrics of any Johnny Cash song and put them
easily. Glenn Danzig. Yeah, Glenn Danzig could write a song for Johnny Cash. And
yeah, he did.
It's the most popular, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you look at the lyrics of that. What's that one he did on American
3 or 4?
Delia. Delia's Gone.
Yeah.
That's one of the fucking darkest songs ever, lyrically.
It's an old folk song they rewrote for that album.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, they made it darker, but it is an old folk song, apparently.
Well, it's like one of the best live albums ever is actually Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison.
Yeah. I got a nice original of that last time I was in Memphis.
On vinyl?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It was still in the shrink and everything, and it was like an old pressing of it.
Shit.
Oh, wow.
Got it for $20, yeah.
That's a steal.
Yeah.
So, Garrow.
Yes.
What made you laugh the most in this besides everything?
I think probably the funniest part was towards the end where they have the big dance.
the heavy metal dance-off?
Yeah, the heavy metal dance-off, which is just them posing and air guitaring.
Yeah.
It's literally the worst dance-off ever.
It is.
It's horrid. It's like it's half-assed like everything else that Abbo did.
And there goes all our Aboriginal listeners. Oh, wait, we didn't have any to start with. Yes. Now, I will say that they did have the biggest dance floor in the world, the street outside.
Yeah.
But, like, and the documentary does this thing where they get sound-alike music, you know?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
So, like, you're kind of watching it, and it's like you're watching them do it to generic metal music instead of, like, you know, Holy Wars by Megadeth or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Which someone needs to actually, like.
But I was like, you guys need to, like, form a pit or something. Like, what is this you guys are doing? Like, I was like, you know, I go to see Fear Factory or Napalm Death, and it's way crazier than this. You guys are not bringing it.
Well, there's that one gang. I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been the Exodus mob, which cracked me up when I saw that. Who was just basically going around.
I know, it's an Exodus gang.
Yeah, I know. How the hell are you at Exodus up north?
Exodus, that's kind of like, you have to be a fan of thrash. Like, you have to be a fan of thrash to know Exodus.
You do, like, yeah. They're like, not like one of the big four. They should be, but they're not.
No,
so you've got to really sort of search them out. But they're all just going around in the circle, like, which reminded me, like, they're in a place that was for missionaries. Like, well, just probably imagine there's a boiling pot with a white man in the middle of some vegetables. That's the way they'll dance, and just around in one big circle. Yeah, that was messed up, that party. I was expecting, when I first watched it, I was expecting some sort of fucking crazy dance floor, you know, with strobe lights and stuff. And
I thought there would be more like of moshing going on, but I guess they don't. They probably haven't been exposed to that or something. I don't know.
Probably not.
And also, I think one of the problems is that I think they're all just fucking high all the time. So, because basically, if you see them all, every time you see them, they're either rolling a joint or they're smoking a joint. It's like everyone's smoking weed there. So basically, you know, weed, I think, replaced the alcohol. Yeah. So when they were drinking, they were just rioting in the fucking streets. But if you smoked weed, when you smoke weed, you don't go and be violent. You just go and you, like, fucking chill out and stuff like that.
True.
So I think what they're doing is they're probably just giving all the fucking abos weed just so they'll calm the fuck down and not be animals anymore.
So really, though, the metal they should be listening to is, like, Sleep.
Yeah, all the stoner stuff, yeah.
Stoners, like, you know, Caius.
Yeah. Queens of the Stone Age, all that.
Queens of the Stone Age, yeah.
Yeah.
Monster Magnet.
Yeah, Monster Magnet.
Monster Magnet Mob.
Monster
Magnet.
They have, like, Jack Kirby shirts on.
This is the Windorf tribe.
Yes, and so it was just, it was also funny for myself personally to see some wearing footy jumpers. I'm like, oh god, just no, just enough. But I couldn't believe when I was watching this the first time. I was laughing that fucking hard because just the whole thing seemed like a 45-minute acid trip. It was just like, I didn't expect to see heavy metal abos, and then just somebody actually document this thing and
just like, you know, we go out hunting. Oh, we ran over a baby kangaroo. Let's eat it. You know?
Yeah. And the way they killed that fucker, like, they were just smacking that stick on their head.
The abos, they just go, oh, well, let's just take it home. And the thing's still alive.
Yeah.
The dude goes, well, why don't we hit it with a rock and kill it so it dies? And he goes, it's going to die.
You're going to die.
He's like, why? But
yeah,
they
horrible white man. He's going to die anyway. Leave him be.
He's like, what? Yeah, exactly. He's like, he's just going to die in the car. Who cares? But they take a stick and, you know, smash its head in. But he was like, you know, shouldn't we show the kangaroo mercy? And they're just like, why?
And it looks like one of those sticks you see, you know, those Egyptian women fanning a guy in the Ten Commandments. It was fuck all. It was like, you might as well hit it with a branch, you know. It was just nothing. But then that was funny as well.
That's
when
that was too, when you go hunting, you just pop one in the head, you know.
Yeah, you do. And what was funny as well, when they were actually skinning the kangaroo, and that guy, that lefty, was just like, he was just trying to really assimilate with them. But anyway, when they were skinning the kangaroo, and the abo goes, yeah, white fella, you don't know how to cut like a black fella. He's like, yeah, how do I cut its foot off? Or how do I cut its arm off? It's like,
I remember he goes, white fella.
Yeah, white fella. That's a term they use a lot. Yeah, white fella.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. What was funny as well was one of the Aborigines said, oh, where are you from? And they go, Melbourne. And he's like, yeah, all right. That's what I suffered in Queensland as well. They go, oh, you're out of town. Where are you from? Melbourne. Oh, okay. It's like, oh, fuck you, whatever. But, oh, man, I don't know what else to make of this. I'm really curious to know what you guys walked away from it after 45 minutes thinking.
Oh, it's just, I thought, like, you know, it's just one of these bizarre, and it's the kind of thing Vice likes to do. It's almost tailor-made for them, is these sort of bizarre subcultures where you have something native and, like, kind of primitive that's kind of embraced Western culture and sort of, like, they've applied it to their own sort of way of life, which is so – it's so bizarre, but it kind of makes sense in a weird way. When John was talking about, you know, the way, like, you know, people from these cultures would identify more with country and metal, you know, you think about it, that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
You know, why they would like metal more than you know, other stuff, it seems to jive more with what those cultures are about, and they latch on to that.
Well, country's huge over here as well, obviously, with...
country's the biggest music in the world next to hip-hop, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's huge over here. You know, you've got the Tamworth Festival every year, which is massive, which gets people actually not just from Australia, but all over the world flock to that. And, you know, obviously with artists like Slim Dusty and Lee Kernighan and whatever that bird's name is, I forgot it. Just very big over here, especially in rural areas. So it doesn't surprise me that they'd be in the country as well up there. You probably find there'd be a few of the Slab Eyes and the Metallica boys who'd actually secretly like country, but they're not going to tell you that though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they get older, like that one dude that was throwing
down.
They'll
be like that Sebastian guy, just, you know.
Yeah, that's when they'll be.
Storm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be throwing down to some Hank Williams.
Well, at least they won't be useful that old Stewart.
I also knew something was up when I heard an NPR report a couple of years ago that Don Williams, the gentle giant of country, guy's like in his 70s, sells out stadiums in some African country like Nigeria.
Really?
Like, they love him. Yeah, he's huge.
I remember
that. One of the biggest stars in the world.
I remember seeing the story about that. That was the one where the audience was 200 schoolgirls, wasn't it?
Might have been. But there's tons of stories like that. It's just like
that went over everybody's heads. Don't worry.
Completely. Yeah. Tammy Wynette said, I think when she went to, I don't know if it was in an African country or Australia, but apparently a native or aborigine went up to her and said, "Where is George?" You know, because of the George Jones thing. And,
yeah.
You know, they'd been first for years. Yeah. But those old records were still selling, like, in these different countries.
I would love to have gone up to Wadai, actually, now, and speaking to those Metallica gangs, said, do you know Cliff Burton's dead? I said, who? Who that, brother? Yeah. See if they got the news yet. It's only been, like, what, 30 years since he died. Yeah. I don't know, man. You guys got anything else to go on about this?
Well, one of the things I noticed is when the four lefties were trying to find the dance party, the way they were shooting it was with that kind of night vision.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it kind of felt like that part of the thing felt like it was like an even scarier Blair Witch Project, because all you were seeing were like abos.
Yeah, one abo goes straight up with with glowing eyes right to the camera.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was scary for me. You know, I didn't find Blair Witch Project scary, but you know, when you see a bunch of abos, very frightening.
The listeners, there's you have no excuse to not know why we invited Garrow onto this episode.
Oh, I think everybody knows by now.
Yeah. Well, I was telling our friend Richard Kuhn the other day that we're going to be doing this. First thing he said, you have to get Garrow on. I said, don't worry. He's already slated to be on. Don't worry. Way ahead of you. Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed during the documentary is that ABBA women are not attractive at all. Like, is there ever – I mean, Stuart, you would know this. Has there ever been an attractive ABBA woman?
I've seen one. Only one. Okay, and she's she's much lighter skinned. So you're talking about dark skin like these ones on the thingo? On the documentary?
I'm just talking like any ABBA. I mean, at this point, we're going to have to dig deep.
I've seen one who I thought, wow, really attractive.
Because it's like, I mean, you look there and you see all the girls in town and you're like, there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there. It's like you would just be like, yeah, I'll go fuck a hole in the ground, you know, because that would be more attractive.
Well, you notice they don't seem to have a visual. They have no visual influence of the culture. You don't see Rip magazines or they don't know what people seem to look like. You know what I mean?
That's the most horrible thing John's ever said on this show.
No, I mean, no, they're not dressed like with long hair and bandanas and all the shit that the metalheads wear. And there's nothing.
The Pantera gang isn't dressed like Pantera.
Yeah, yeah, they don't look like these rednecks in Louisiana with shaved heads or anything. You know, they just, it's Pantera.
If they knew about Pantera, they'd be screaming about white power, you know?
Yeah, but there's like no, it's Exactly, which would be hilarious. They didn't like Confederate flags and shit, but there is like no visual. There's no visual influence. Like they're not watching concert videos.
No,
and stuff.
No, it feels like they've basically got a hat, and there's about 20 gangs. It's like pull a piece of paper out of the hat. Okay, you're now the Pantera gang, and you're now the Slayer gang, and someone said someone said there was a White Lion gang. I'm like,
I know. I was like,
wow.
I'm like, okay, someone's having a joke here, or they got no fucking idea.
They just come out air guitar to wait.
Really.
Where's the Cinderella gang?
I was telling Rob about this the other night when I was out to dinner with him, and he goes, "Oh, who was Vito Brighter?"
Like nobody's wearing Kiss makeup or anything. It's almost like they've never seen videos of these bands.
They've seen Eddie from Iron Maiden, and that's it.
Yeah. They said at the end of their documentary though that back in the '70s they had Kiss and Deep Purple and Ozzy Osbourne. What goes on in this fucking town, really?
Sadly, no footage.
No, not at all. We did get to see some pretty cool corroborees at the start.
I just want one of those bands to go play there and see what happens.
Oh, Kiss would go there. Don't worry. They go.
Yeah.
Have ample travel.
Tickle, Kiss comes. You know?
Yeah.
You could get that midget Kiss band to show up and they'd probably think.
Any Kiss or is it little Kiss? The officially sanctioned Kiss midget tribute band.
At least one of three versions of L.A. Guns could play there.
We could get one of the versions of Rat down there as well. And
One of the versions of Rat, Faster Pussycat. There's several
the versions of Great White, and they could burn the town down.
Thankfully.
Oh, that's horrible. But honestly, like, this is going to sound really, really bad. If they held a festival with all these bands like Pantera and Slayer, no one would go. No one would bother turning up. It's just like an assimilation with a band for the sake of it. I don't think there's any real love. I mean,
I think they'd go as long as it was free.
Oh, it wouldn't be free. And if it ain't free, well then, they ain't going. Let's say that much.
It would be too much work to get a band out there anyway. The only band that could do it is Iron Maiden because they would just fly Ed Force One.
Ed Force One out in the middle of what eye?
They just landed down in the middle of the.
Well, Lord knows he got a massive
scream for me, what eye?
and then everybody in what eye is pissed because they didn't play Run to the Hills. They just played stuff off Book of Souls.
Yeah, Maiden tried to pull a fast one on them. They're like, "Hey, Run to the Hills, brother. Play that shit."
There was a guy on Gavin McInnes' show. He said he just saw Iron Maiden and he was furious because they didn't play the classics. They didn't play Run to the Hill.
Didn't they start at the start? They weren't playing shit like that during the... that's like Dream Theater. I don't know if you heard that episode of Eddie Trunk where they had Dream
They're
Theater.
All of Astonishing.
That's all they're playing. So there's no
Which is a very disappointing album.
I've not heard it yet. I wanted to hear it bad.
I want to like it, but it's pretty dull. I don't know. You'll have to let me know what you think. It's frankly too much of a concept record. Like it's so much story and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, ever since Tommy or Quadrophenia, everybody's trying to put out these epic stories. Like, it's not going to work every time.
Well, and the story is like, it's like, didn't Rush already do this? It was called 2112.
Yeah.
The oppressive society where music's not allowed.
Yeah. Okay. Or a Kiss with music from the older.
Oh, Jesus. Make a set like that. That was written by cocaine. Bob Ezrin's cocaine habit.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Well, I'm pretty much spent.
Me too.
I'm done. We got other shit we can get into, I'm sure. Alright, ratings, Garrow, I gotta hear it. Out of 10. Hang on. How many
gallons, how many liters of petrol I give it?
That's what I was gonna suggest.
Yeah.
Out of 10 liters of petrol, I give this 0 because I had to look at Abbo's.
Oh, I hope the social justice warriors don't get a hold of this one.
Awful on this one.
They will. I'm sure they'll be picketing the MMC like they did at that rally on Sunday. And fuck you, leftists. That was disgusting what you guys did.
Here. Let me upset the social justice warriors some more. I'm going to make a suggestion that from now on we call the Wachowski brothers the Wachowski whatevers. Oh. What do you think? Are we for that?
Perfect.
Yep. Works. Yep.
Whatever pisses him off the most, I'm quite happy with that.
Ask him whatever.
So this really gets a 0 liters of petrol out of 10.
Yes, because I had to look at damn ABBA's now. For 45 minutes. 45 minutes of staring at ABBA.
But you knew that was going to be the case. You found nothing in... There wasn't any part of this that made you laugh out loud at all.
I wish I was blind while watching it. That's how.
So hang on. You're putting this on par with Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem, are you?
Okay, it's not as bad as Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem. I gave it 1 petrol, 1 liter of petrol. Then,
jeez, that would barely get through the Metallica boys for a day. That's. I'm disappointed. All right.
Give it 2 liters of petrol.
All right, there you go. That's a bit better. That's nearly half a gallon. All right, John. Yeah. How many liters of petrol out of 10?
I give it about 6, and I'll tell you why, because it's like a real-life version of Eli Roth's Green Inferno or Cannibal Holocaust, except you see what really happens when they go to the kind of backwards areas. They get more than they bargain for, these social justice warrior types.
Imagine if Rob Zombie got his hands on this and made a heavy metal Abbo film.
Well, they'd all be into Skynyrd.
And they'd all be wearing clown makeup.
Yes.
And
they'd be swearing.
And Sherry Moon Zombie would be there, and we can't.
There'd be a titty bar in the middle of nowhere with just the most foul mouthed people can imagagine. And, yeah.
And then out of nowhere, what do you call it? What's that black music that he loves? Motown. The Motown song would come out of nowhere for no reason.
It really would.
Yeah.
There'd be like a Lionel Richie. Didn't somebody write Lionel Richie on the wall, by the way, in graffiti?
Yes, they did. I was like, Lionel Richie.
Really?
Hello.
Well, Lionel Richie's like huge in the Middle East. Like, he played like
is he
a concert? He plays in some of the Middle Eastern countries where you know nobody's very well known, and he goes there and sells out, and they know every word. He's just huge. Just one of those acts that translates.
Maybe they've misinterpreted the lyrics of "Hello." Hello, is it me you're looking for? Like, you know, they walk into a crowded place in the Gaza Strip and blow themselves up. Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Confuse Brick House with Jihad.
Well, basically, they like that song, Dancing on the Ceiling, because after they blow up all the houses, the ceilings are on the ground.
All right. Yeah, when they saw the video, they thought that meant going to Allah, where they're like dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah,
that's what happens. That's their heaven with the 72 virgins, and they also walk upside down.
So John gives it 6 cans of petrol.
Liters, please.
Liters. By the way, I would say that all the Abbos are way smarter than the host.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, God, yeah, really, that's a good point.
Way more intelligent. The hosts are vegetables
they
walking around.
They come across as the dumb white fellas. That's what they do.
No, they really are. They're the, like, it's, they really are the silly, like, kind of urban white liberals who have these preconceived notions about native culture, and they seem sort of disappointed when it doesn't live up to what they think.
Yeah, they are actually talking down to them like they're dumb, but it's actually the other way around. It's,
completely. Abbo's are loving the life, man. Smoking weed and listening to metal.
Smoke
and
weed every day.
Yeah.
And one guy singing about the creek in his native language. And I'm like, man, this sounds like an Abbo version of a Clash song.
I think every millennial under 30 in Colorado would love to live like those guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, just smoking weed and listening to Exodus. And White Lion, apparently. Allegedly. Yeah.
And Billy Idol as well.
Yeah.
Billy Idol for life, bitches, okay?
Okay. So I'll give this 7 cans of liters of petrol, excuse me.
Very good. All right.
I thought it was solid, good entertaining viewing. Go watch it. Enjoy it.
I'm giving this at 10 petrol stations out of 10 because I'm not giving it liters. I'm giving it 10 full petrol stations. I thought it was fucking unreal. And it was good to see a older version of myself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, in your future, it's like Little Big Man, like the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Sitting in a chair.
Yeah, we'll all have to come visit your campground site.
No, you won't. Don't lie. Yeah. You're really going to travel, you know, like, God, 20 hours to the middle of nowhere, just me sitting on a chair going, I hate everybody. What are you doing here? I don't like this.
And here's the thing. That town in that documentary set looked a lot more pleasant than the town from Wake and Fright. So we need to remember that. The Yabba.
The Yabba, yeah. Well, we didn't get to see all of White Eye, so like a tourist video, we got to see the good parts of it.
Yeah, exactly. We got to see the whitewashed version of it.
Yeah, we didn't get to see the ghetto parts of Wat Eye.
We only got to see the upper market of Wat Eye. Yeah, the high-end property areas. But, oh, man. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the $2 V8 at the end of the documentary for sale, which is still up for sale. With that multicolored in God We Lost written on the
oh yes, I'm like, yes,
come on, really? Is that the leftist statement? Is it all in God We Lost?
I was wondering if they made that for the movie.
Oh, totally.
Did the crew make this? You know,
well, you know damn well they're not, because
all those Abbos are pretty devout Catholics.
Yeah,
you know?
and they ain't gonna waste all that paint. Spraying a you get the picture.
Oh jeez. Yeah. Anyway,
spray it on the boot of a car when it could be going elsewhere.
So Garrow.
Yes.
What do you have to plug in regards to dangerous people?
Well, before we get to that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you after you're done, I was gonna ask you how the circuit went, but yeah.
Well, I got it. You know how you guys want to every year sell an episode, do a special episode. And the last episode was the one where I talked about getting cancer.
I'm
not going to get cancer
ever.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to get cancer again so we can do another episode at the end of the year.
Good.
But I got a suggestion on what the paid episode can be.
Oh, all right.
Okay. What is one of the most infamous episodes of the show ever?
Cannonball Run 2?
Yes. I'm saying we do a sequel to Cannonball Run 2 that would be basically not reviewing Cannonball Run 2. We barely talked about Cannonball Run 2 on the last episode.
Yeah.
Why don't we record an episode on election night?
Ooh. Ooh, that'd be interesting. Mm. Get Leslie on and...
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and I'm thinking that could be the episode that ends up being the paid episode, because you don't want to make it be Rob Zombie's 31, because basically that's more of like, you know, helping people by telling them that it's a horrible movie. You can't make people pay for that.
No.
Yeah. You know, it's a public service announcement reviewing that movie.
It's true.
I would. When's your election on? I haven't got a clue. November, is it?
November. November 11th, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. It's on Remembrance Day here. How apt.
We need to get some cucks on too, John.
Oh yeah, well we will.
We should just make it like we should just announce it and make it a mass party line. If you want to come in and gripe about something, jump in with us for 5 minutes and just say what you want.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
Like put the word out and say, right, this day, this time we are recording. Here's our address on Skype. If you want to jump on with us and just say your piece for 5 minutes, you want to talk about how much Obama's fucked your country up over 8 years, get on now. Here's your chance.
We've got listeners that think he's been great.
We can have them on as well. And then
we got liberals who listen to the show. We got people who are Bernie Sanders supporters listening to the show. I don't think we have any Hillary Clinton supporters, but
you know what's funny about the Bernie Sanders?
I don't think there is any Hillary Clinton supporters anywhere, is there?
No. You know what the funny about the Bernie Sanders supporters is they keep getting like punched out at like Trump rallies, and it's funny. It's like Bernie Sanders supporters, if you weren't so fucking annoying, people wouldn't be punching you. I mean, you're the most annoying people in the fucking world. Of course you're going to get punched in the face.
Yeah, well, that is a very good point. Yeah,
free college of hard knocks. Boom.
Here's some free education.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, on my Facebook feed, I had people, Bernie Sanders supporters, who would post, like, fucking 30 fucking stories a day about Bernie Sanders. I had to mute them because it was driving me fucking insane. It's like, they are the most brainwashed. Like, liking Bernie Sanders is like, his followers are like religious zealots. And they're just fucking annoying. Like, the Trump people aren't annoying. The Hillary Clinton people aren't annoying. The Bernie Sanders people, I want to punch every single fucking one of them in the face.
Speaking of people who are annoying and you want to punch in the face, how's Brandon these days?
he's fine. Yeah. I actually ended up, it was April Fool's. And I get these text messages from him, and he's like, man, I'm reading on the internet. Man, they're saying that after the next X-Men movie, it's the right to reverting back to Marvel. And I just have to text back to him, what day is it today? And he's like, oh. It's like literally having a retarded friend sometimes.
John had the best story about him when he rang up. And he goes, yo, where that faggot at?
I had an argument with him because me and John are both huge fans of the new Stephen Chow movie, The Mermaid, and he went and saw it, and he didn't like it, and it's just like, you're an idiot. You're a fucking idiot.
Maybe if it was Tyler Perry's The Mermaid, he would have liked it.
Oh, he would have loved it. I have to give Tyler Perry credit, though, because his new Madea movie that's coming out, it's pretty ballsy to name your movie after what people scream at the screen while they're watching the movie.
What?
It's called Boo.
It should have been called, I guess.
Stewart.
Oh,
hey,
save your racisms for the premium show. Come on,
yeah.
Or what? 60 minutes of abos isn't enough.
Yes. Well, that's tribalism. That's not racism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, believe me, iTunes won't have a problem with us making fun of Abos for an hour.
They'll be like featured on their movie podcast, Midnight Movie Cowboys, that Abo Metal show. Oh, God. All right. So, anyway, how did the festival circuit go with Dangerous People?
Well, it's only played in two film festivals. The Tampa Bay Underground Film Festival, where most of the people who booked the film didn't like it and treated us like shit. And we still came in second for the audience award.
Yeah.
And then basically we had played the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival, flew all the way out to Los Angeles. And the only person who showed up for the screening was a friend of mine.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yep. Yep, I literally, after the movie was over, I go, I flew to Los Angeles just to show you the movie. We had a shitty time slot. We were Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon, and I was worried about that time slot. I'm like, that's a shitty time slot. So basically, it was just me and my friend watching the movie in the theater. We got another screening in Vancouver in September, but I don't have a date for that yet. The Scholarama Film Festival.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear back from some more film festivals. In the new Horror Hound magazine, Dangerous People is reviewed in it. Got a great review. In fact, all our reviews that we've been getting from different websites, fantastic. You know, so it's and one of the things is if I don't get a good offer for distribution before the summer, I'm going to self-distribute the movie myself. And there'll be a big Kickstarter campaign to fund the putting together the Blu-ray release. So
we'll push that for sure.
We'll push that.
Yeah, so
yeah,
stay
definitely
tuned for that.
So you had any offers yet for distribution? Any at all?
Yes, but none of them are any good. None of them offer upfront money. Yeah, it's all it's all like, oh, give us your movie, we'll release it. If it makes some money, we'll give some back to you. And it's like, fuck you.
Fuck
I
that.
Know.
No.
Even if it does, that you won't see any.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know I can sell this movie directly to Angelina's fans and make the budget back. So it's not like, you know, there's not an audience for this. And every review I'm getting for the movie is calling the movie like a cult classic, like a future cult classic.
Yeah, that's what I walked away thinking when I first watched it. And I was like, I told you I've seen it four times now, so.
Yeah. And the thing is I go, I joke with my friend Rich, who worked on the movie with me, that, you know, everyone's calling us a cult classic, which means the movie will make money in 20 years.
Yeah.
And will become popular.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I'll be dead by then. and then everyone will be like, this is a great fucking movie.
I'll tell you what you want to do.
But yeah,
I'll tell you what you should do, Garrow. If you really want to make some money on this, there are computer programs that can make this look like an old VHS. I tell you what, you put it on a VHS, you limit it to 100 tapes, I guarantee you will sell them.
I mean, the thing is like, I have the movie, when I have the movie look a certain way, so I don't want to really, like, you know, degrade it in a way, you know, because I don't want to be like that hacky Robert Rodriguez thing where you put fake scratches on it and shit like that, you know.
Yeah. You do it, but you don't sell it just as that. You sell it sort of in conjunction as a sort of limited edition. The first 100 copies also get like a VHS copy that makes it look like it was from the 70s. But obviously the main format you want to use is Blu-ray or DVD, you know.
Yeah, because I want to do the Blu-ray, and one of the things that's going to be on the Blu-ray is I had to cut a couple of Angelina's nude scenes down because they went on way too long, like to the point where it's like it's dragging the pace of the movie down.
Hang on, is that the version I've got, the work print, or is it the final print, the final cut?
The version I gave you is a very, very, very close version to the final version.
Okay.
You don't have the extra long Angelina nude scenes. Those were cut down before that version. Like the scene where there's a scene where I'm washing blood off of her, my character's washing blood off of her, that goes on about double the amount of time that it is in the movie.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, basically because it does get a little monotonous after a while, but I will have the unedited version on the Blu-ray, and there's another nude scene of hers that went on a little too long that I had to cut down. It just, you got to keep the story going, you know.
I think the words nude Angelina and goes on too long can't really go in the same sentence.
Well, you kind of have to feel the pace of the movie, and but I was just like, you know, when I'm cutting them, I'm going, this, don't worry, this still will be seen, it'll be on the Blu-ray.
You're going to do an audio commentary for this?
Oh yeah, what I want to do is I want to do a commentary with Vince and Angelina, and I want to do a commentary with me, Rich, Wheat, and Kat, who is one of the producers. And then I want to do a Midnight Movie Cowboys commentary.
You should do a screening all together, and we can record a commentary.
I want three commentary tracks, and those are the three I want. And I'm going through footage right now to try to see if I can put together a documentary on the making of the movie, and probably go down and interview a lot of the people who are involved with the movie and put that together for the Blu-ray too. So I'm working on a couple of
things. You should have an Easter egg on there as well, you know, like when you go across the menu, then you go up and you go left and you hit the number 6, and you should put the Heavy Metal Gangs of What I documentary.
Yes, I'm sure everyone who loved Dangerous People would love a documentary about metal ABBAs.
Why not?
They'd be like, this is fantastic. We love metal ABBAs. But also, my lead actor, Vince, you know, because I know you're waiting around wanting to see Dangerous People, but it's not out yet. Well, you can see Vince in I Saw the Light, which is out in theaters now, which is the Hank Williams biopic starring Loki from the Thor movies. Vince is in it. He plays Sonny Jones, Hank Williams' brother-in-law in the movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. While you're waiting for Dangerous People, go check out I Saw the Light. I haven't seen it yet. I'm seeing it this week.
Very good. I will see if it's around. Is it on Netflix at all?
I think
No.
It's on theaters right now.
Theaters. Okay.
It's playing at the same multiplex that's like 20 minutes away that played The Mermaid. So it's like that rare multiplex that just plays everything.
Oh. Yeah, play Stephen Chow and Hank Williams biopics. That's
yeah. Yeah, and whatever new hip hop comedies are out.
Yeah, if it stars Mike Epps, it's playing there.
Yeah, Meet the Blacks. In fact, so the story got around that Suicide Squad is having like comedy scenes filmed for it,
added in
to make it lighter. And I'm like, why don't they just pair it on a double feature with Meet the Blacks?
There you go.
Well, I did hear they hired Jackie Martling to punch up the script.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
No. I wish. Well, if they can't get Jackie, I can always get you.
Yes, and it'll be nothing but Harley Quinn saying horrible things about Abos.
Yes.
I was about to say Jackie Marley would have Harley Quinn saying Polish jokes.
Yep. No.
Yep. He's still stuck in that 70s joke book mentality, you know. 101 offensive Polish jokes.
Yeah. And the fact that he can still laugh at those jokes night after night after night, he's like, he's got to be stoned as fuck. I mean, yeah.
Or
they're
sociopath.
Funny. Yeah, well, I've heard them the first time. Yeah, okay, they were funny. Second time around, I got the joke. I know the punchline. I ain't laughing much, you know. Still think they're funny, but I ain't laughing like he is. Yeah, like the some of his jokes. But anything else you want to plug, man?
Dangerous People, if you want to see the trailer, it's up on Vimeo and YouTube. Look up the Red Band trailer because it has nudity in it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have and pick up the new issue of Horror Hound magazine. It's number 58 with the ring on the cover, and there's a positive review for Dangerous People in it.
Is that very good? Is that digital as well, or just physical form?
Just physical. Just it's a regular magazine. It's one of the rarities nowadays. It's actual paper.
Speaking of that, what about where's the latest Wings Chop, John?
I don't know. I haven't kept up. I haven't contributed to Wings Chop in a while.
I was going to say it's been ages.
Yeah, about a year ago I did that Bruce Lee review. I just haven't gotten around to writing anything. And I'm going to be writing stuff for the – I've got some stuff that will be in the next Exploitation Retrospect, and I'm still going to be writing some stuff for their website. Just got to find the time to sit down and do it, you know.
Very good.
Unfortunately, with writing, you have to take a break from real life, which is always problematic as busy as I am.
So. Slows down the building of your flow hive, doesn't it?
Right. I still got to build the flow hive. Got to complete the flow hive this week and start finding a swarm to put in there.
So you know what you should do is you should videotape you putting together the flow hive so we can link it on the website.
Yeah.
So we can all watch.
Be way too profane.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd like to see the finale being John being stung by the queen bee.
Well, be sure to go to visit Midnight Movie Cowboys at iTunes. Give us a review. Rate us. That if you want to support the show, that's a great way to do it. That doesn't cost you anything except a couple minutes of your time.
Yes.
And be sure to subscribe as well.
Every review helps us get close to, you know, climbing the top of the mountain of the iTunes recommended section.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And try not to use the words idiots and racist. That's been used a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't really help.
And I know after this episode you'll want to use it, but don't do it.
I don't mind. You can call us that.
Yeah. Well, just trying to eliminate the words morning zoo as well, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's more offensive.
That is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not once do you hear any sound effects going on while we're talking, and that's very morning zoo-ish, and we don't do that.
No.
Right.
Once I get a soundboard on this thing, though, you'll be riddled with sound effects.
Milk was a bad choice.
And we don't like cut to AC/DC guitar riffs and then talk about the traffic and weather.
Dun, 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 yeah. Dun.
Yes. Dun, and dun. Also, we are now up on YouTube. Who knows? Please don't flag this episode as inappropriate. It's all.
Oh, we have enough enemies that'll do that.
Whatever. What the fuck, ever.
Yeah, you can find us on YouTube now if you want to listen on YouTube.
Yes. Audio only, no video. Yeah, no, we don't do the video thing. Unless you start paying us like lots and lots of money, then we'll put ourselves on there. We'll just get some pictures of Abos and no one unless they know who we are. Yeah.
All right, everybody.
I think we're done, yeah. Thank you, Garrow, for hopping on this show. It's like I said, it's just basically it can't be done without you. There would literally be riots, on the sort of scale of Mike Brown in Missouri type riots.
I think they'd be riots like the ones in Wadi, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, the Christmas Day riots with machetes, which is very Christian of them, I guess, isn't it? Sure. Yeah, if we didn't have you on, be like, where the fuck's Garrow on this? But we're way ahead of you guys, so yeah.
Don't worry. I hope I brought the proper amount of Abbo hatred into this episode.
I think us just even covering this has done that.
Yes, this is a hate crime.
Yeah, it really is. Cause, you know.
Yeah, well, we're not nice and classy like the Rialto Report, so.
Mm-hmm.
No. Can we have this like episode dropped into Wadia?
I was... I think that might be possible. I see if there's some sort of... If somebody out there's got like a dial-up modem, I can sort of, you know...
Audio cassette.
All right.
Or one of those CDRs that they had one song on.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Haven't you guys heard of a fucking iPod you can just sort of link up?
Hey, they don't have our Western our Western technology.
Hey, now.
No, they're about
Apple Store.
They're about 10 years away from getting their first iPod. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Which is funny because Steve Jobs fought cancer the way they do.
It's true.
I think on that note.
Yeah, really. Really. All right. Yeah, on that note, we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Garrow, for popping on again.
No problem. I love coming on and ruining my reputation.
Yep.
Not the very small amount that you and the rest of us have left. Yes. All right, fellas, let's say goodnight.
Adios.
Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. To leave feedback and show suggestions, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like our Midnight Movie Cowboys show page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and feel free to leave us a review. Listen to us on Stitcher.com or the Stitcher Radio app. Want to help the show out? Visit MidnightMovieCowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate link. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Our personal links are on the right side of our homepage. See y'all next time.
Interior.